Graham, have you been into an IKEA store ever?
I actually have been.
In Israel? Or where?
In London.
Isn't it incredible?
It is quite amazing.
I must tell you, so we went to one in Israel. I found it very overwhelming. That really, really overwhelming. And I found a lot of the stuff not to be wonderful, but because I don't think we're allowed to say crap on the air, are we?
All too late now.
Oh, yeah. Damn, Don, I mean, gosh, look at me, I'm out of control. No, I found, but some of the stuff was amazing, and I thought it's such an amazing, amazing concept, and I really do think it would do well in South Africa.
Well, I tried to actually build my, what I bought from IKEA there, because I was living there very briefly, so I decided to get my cupboard, my bedside table from IKEA, and it's, you know, yes and no. We're not really built for DIY here, I think.
Not here. I think as a Jewish person. I mean, with a name, with a name, surname Shapiro, one doesn't try.
DIY.
Yeah, one doesn't try and build one's own bedside table. We're not good at that. What you have to do is look at the IKEA price and then know that I think it's 15% or 20%. I saw in Israel, they'll send somebody for 20% extra, whatever that figure is, they'll send somebody to assemble it for you. Which I think would have been a lot smarter.
Had I had known, possibly.
Had you known, in pounds, I imagine. Is it reasonable in London?
Well, this was about 10 years ago.
Oh, okay.
So it was...
But comparatively then, even?
Yeah, well, when you actually thought what a bedside table might cost, which ended up just being a pile of wood. So I might as well have bought a log.
it's deconstructed. Oh, my word, Yossi, thanks for your WhatsApp. I suppose I did invite them. Oi, he says, seriously, that song was absolute dreck. Sounds like Elvin and the Chipmunks. Why is everybody so angry today? Oh, you know why? It's because they're not in prison. That's what it is. Because prison's the place to be. And of course, we're referring to that story that broke over the weekend or earlier today. And that is trending on every South African website. And that is the fact that photos have been released of a strip show in prison. And yes, not chicken strippers. I do need to reiterate that. All right, Graham Shapiro, what are we talking about? Cyber, what do they call it?
Cryptocurrency.
That's it. Cryptocurrency. Graham is going to tell us all about everything you wanted to know about cryptocurrency, but were too afraid to ask.
So, exactly. So, the reason why I'm mainly talking about it this week is it's probably one of the most hyped up topics that I've seen right now. I think my Facebook feed for about the last month constantly sends me articles about cryptocurrency and how it's going to make me rich.
Graham, I have to stop you right there. Because I can tell you unequivocally, my Facebook feed has never seen a cryptocurrency article in its life. So, which really means we really define our own social media feeds. Mine seems to be all about... what's going on at the cocktail this afternoon? I don't know. That's the only thing that's actually going my way in terms of Facebook articles. So yes, I've never seen one. But carry on.
Okay. So anyway, so it's definitely one of the biggest topics. It's also probably one of the most confusing. Now, not many people really understand exactly what it is. A lot of people. We'll go into it very shortly. But a lot of people are talking about it, saying that it's the next big bubble. So an investment bubble.
Yeah, it feels like that to me, even though I know nothing.
So, you know, just briefly what a bubble is when you have a certain item or traditionally the stock market, it was even in the 17 or 1600s in Amsterdam, there was a tulip bubble where the cost of a tulip could cost you what it cost you. You could buy a house for the value of a tulip. And that basically, you know, you have something that's very overpriced, very hyped up. Mm-hmm. And then when its true value reveals itself, everybody wants to sell because they realize they're holding on to something which is overpriced and they sell it for close to nothing. And it can in effect crash the entire market. So right now it feels like, you know, cryptocurrencies have that sense of hype. So you've got you've really got two sides of the story. You've got mainly people who are involved in technology, who really see the cryptocurrency for the technology benefits that it brings. Then you've got the other side, which is really investors you know, you've got investment professionals who work on sort of investment fundamentals, which say that let's work out what we believe the value is.
But Graham, I have to stop you there because this confuses me a bit.
Okay.
The reality is that something is always worth what a willing buyer will sell it or buy it for, and what a willing seller will sell it for. Because inherently, there is no value in anything. It's all about what somebody is prepared to sell it for and what the other person is prepared to buy it for. So even the whole notion of the bubble being over, something being overvalued is, I think, problematic. I know we talk about it all the time. Mm. It's a bubble and it's going to burst, and I get that. I see it differently. I see things go up and then things go down. People are willing to pay X plus 10 for it today, but only X for it tomorrow. It's come down. Doesn't mean do you understand what I'm saying? I find it inherently problematic to talk about real value because I don't know what real value is. Is there ever any real value in anything?
Well, I think in this, you know, if we take the example, if we look at the cryptocurrencies and you want to see what the value is right now, the value is people are putting on what they think it's going to be worth in the future. So people are investing in it today thinking that in the future, down the line, when it reveals to be this amazing technology, everybody's going to want to buy their currency that they hold for far more than they've purchased it for today. If it goes the other way and it actually seems that it's useless and it can't be used, then nobody will want to buy it and everybody will have to sell it for close to nothing.
Yeah, so, yeah, that reminds me of when one of my kids were born. Number four, I think it was the first time you could take the stem cells. You could store stem cells. And it was quite expensive at the time. And somebody said to us, that the people, in fact, that were storing it said, it's very important to do, but we won't be able to tell you today what you're doing it for. You're only going to know in 10 or 15 years why you've done this.
Yeah.
And it's just an interesting concept. There you are definitely paying something, high value for something for the future. Hopefully we'll have value. Hopefully you'll never need it. That's a different discussion.
Well, that's it. And I think the currency today is a bet on that. People are either betting that it will be have a great, huge use in the future, and other people are saying, well, maybe not. And I think a lot of people are also standing back and saying, I don't mind if I don't make money on this. Mm. I'm just going to let it play out and just watch what happens. But let's now go back and actually see, you know, what is cryptocurrency? What are cryptocurrencies? So, you know, one of them, it's effectively a digital currency. It doesn't have any. It's not physical. You don't go put your rands and cents in the bank, and it has a digital certificate to it. So your ownership, the ownership of it, is really encrypted and safe. So nobody can really steal your currency that you own. Just to give some of them that are out there, the popular ones that people have heard of. You know, the three real players in the market today are Bitcoin, Ethereum, and Ripple. I think Hilton knows Hilton a lot about it. I think he can correct me along the way if I'm wrong. But last night I checked, there's an exchange for cryptocurrencies, and there's currently 785 different ones. Now, there were only seven about 4.5 years ago. There were only seven. Today, there's 785. The market cap, when I checked for the first time last night, was $105 billion.
Okay.
Now, what that means, what a market cap means, is the amount of coins times the price of all the amount of currency times by the value of each unit of currency.
Mm-hmm.
So the market is currently worth 105, well, five, that's another thing that I wanted to say. I checked it. It was 105 billion. 10 minutes later, I went back to reference something and it was at 106 billion.
Whoa.
So it had gained $1 billion mm-hmm. within about 10 minutes. Not that it's going to gain $1 billion every 10 minutes, but something was happening. So, you know, something that no one really understands, you know, there is an understanding of what it can be used for, whether it will be used for and how it will be applied.
I mean, the only thing I've heard it used for is to pay ransoms to cyber thieves.
Well, that it can be used for that, so it's handy there. Last night, I was actually I bought something online last night, and for the first time, I actually had the option of purchasing it using bitcoins.
Really?
Yeah, it was a local store. It was a local online store, and I could have used bitcoins. I don't know how many, but it's starting to come through as an actual form of trade. So, you know, if we sort of look at that, you know, one of the big words that they talk about now, what they're talking about in terms of cryptocurrencies is what it does is they use this word called decentralization. So before we look at what decentralization is, let's look at, you know, what centralization means. So one of the more recent forms that people might identify with of centralization is something that we had called the gold standard. So what the gold standard was is that you could own is a central bank, meaning for us it's the Reserve Bank, and in America the Federal Reserve, can only print in the amount of currency equivalent to the amount of gold that they held in reserve. And that was a form of centralization. Now, centralization still takes part. We've now moved off the gold standard. We no longer are limited by printing money to the value of our gold reserves.
Right, but your federal government, your central government, has the control over printing money. No one else can do it.
For sure, no one else can print money. Mm-hmm. They control the money supply. Right. So, for example, exactly what you're saying, the Reserve Bank controls exactly how many rands and cents are out there,
right?
And they can control them. They control the interest rates also. Now, what happens in a centralized system? If you want to make a payment, you say, for example, you use your credit card.
Right.
It's not instant. If you ever go look on your bank statement, so it says outstanding or pending or something like that. What happens is it goes through sort of a third-party clearinghouse, and they verify the transaction, and then they clear it, and it happens. So that happens the same thing with international payments,
right?
And the same with interbank transfers. So if you pay somebody from a different bank to you, it goes through a clearing system. Now, the whole reason for the clearing system is that they have to sort of balance the transactions. There has to be an in and an out, so that the world is constantly balanced. Now, what this decentralized system does is it removes the middle party, and so if you had bitcoins and you wanted to pay me with a bitcoin, you would do the transaction. Then instead of it going through a clearinghouse, I would actually verify the transaction. I would go into this decentralized system, and actually, Hilton could correct me if I'm wrong once again, but I would actually then verify the payment, and it wouldn't have to be, in a way it's more secure because you're not leaving yourself.
Right, so it's person to person direct.
Exactly.
Okay.
And
but is there any way to know how many bitcoins are out there?
So as far as I understand, it's fixed. I don't know if they are making
any more. Who produces a Bitcoin?
That's a good question.
Okay, so I can actually step in here to answer this. Bitcoin is worked on an algorithm mining system. Okay. Now, it started off where one computer working for a certain amount of time would be able to mine X amount of Bitcoins. There's only a finite amount of Bitcoins that could ever be mined. Okay, at this point in time, they've mined, I think it's about 60 to 70% of the total amount of bitcoins that could ever be mined. But now it takes more and more computer logic and memory and etc. in order to mine fewer bitcoins at a time.
Okay,
so it's the same thing. A mine has a finite amount of ore in it. Miners go down.
But who determines that? It's a fiction.
The creators of the Bitcoin. That's the beauty of the Bitcoin. It's one of the great technologies that they've instilled into this, is that through this...
But when they were producing my computer, nobody was planting 4 Bitcoins in here somewhere to be found.
No, they weren't.
I feel like I'm totally doff when it comes to Bitcoin. Okay. I don't get it at all. I can't see it, feel it, think about it, and you know, and I.
Ultimately, they've created this in the Matrix. You've got to choose to take the red pill or the blue pill, and that way you can get your Bitcoins.
So that's actually still an area of Bitcoin, of cryptocurrency, which I don't understand. I don't understand the idea of mining.
Of how they come to be. I mean, you know, did God create them on the eighth day, Bitcoins? Like, where do they come from?
Well, Adam started working on the original algorithm.
He was really confused.
Just after Eve gave him his first apple.
Right. Well, there we go. So it came from the apple. So therefore it was only after. Right. I get it.
So you know, there's something also interesting about decentralization. You know, and sort of how it works in our lives. You know, before the internet, if you wanted to go on holiday, mm-hmm. you had to get a travel agent. So you would have gone to your travel agent. You would have said, "Okay, we're going to Israel. Will you organize our flight, mm-hmm. our itinerary, and our hotels?" Right. And it's done. Then the internet came along. So that's almost the centralized system. Then the internet came along, and you realize, wait a second, I can book my own flight, I can book my own hotel, and there's enough information for me to make my own, so I don't need this middle man in the middle charging me fees.
Got it.
And that's another thing about this decentralized system is, you know, it will be cheaper, mm-hmm. because there's generally a lot of banking fees that go in with international transfers and also just credit card payments.
Right.
So more people will have access to it. You just need actually an internet connection to get it. And Hilton was saying now while we were just before we came on, he mentioned that Europe was starting to introduce
Bitcoin
ATMs where you would go in with you would plug in your USB port, yep. and be able to withdraw currency. So we're not getting rid of currency just yet, and I think that's the...
Which I have to sound fairly relieved to hear. Yeah,
I agree.
How do you buy a cup of coffee with a Bitcoin?
Yeah, for sure. So I think, you know, one of the you know, interesting things about this cryptocurrency is, and it's still a part which I don't completely understand, but which also makes me nervous, is because it's peer-to-peer. It raises a whole lot of, you know, there's something called the dark web, which is sort of the, you know, something where people sort of sell
all sorts of
anything that they want to. And not even that, it's got a sort of a sense of deregulation, which makes one able to buy anything from anyone, no matter who they are. And because it's decentralized, because it's going on trust of individuals, you know, if I know you and you know me, I can sell you whatever I want, and you can pay me by Bitcoin as much money as you want. So there's a lot of sort of unanswered questions and dangers in cryptocurrency, which they probably are thinking of, and they probably are working around
to be tested.
Yeah, and exactly. And I think the whole success of cryptocurrency lies around how it gets accepted by business. And how it gets accepted by governments, and if they, and I think that's also one of the things which is the uncertainty is how will policymakers who don't understand technology, you know, come up with a policy around such technology. So I think a lot of this.
And how do you prevent the manufacturer of more Bitcoins, which can totally destroy? Because you can't control it. So counterfeit you could understand because there's a central control of it. Bitcoins, if you can find a way to produce them, you could actually take down the entire industry.
Well, for sure.
No. Well, there we go. At 5 o'clock, I hope we've managed to shed some light on cryptocurrency. I'm not sure I'm convinced. We went through the basics, what it is, how big that market is, and what is the currency. Thank you to Graham Shapiro. He's the owner of Shapiro Advisories, a financial advisory company for SMEs. Graham, thank you very, very much.